Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online. Imagine the situation around this time 2,000 years ago, on the day Jesus had been passed away on the cross. How was your fast, everyone? We've been fasting to remember this day, even without mentioning during this Passion Week. Fasting for one meal or two meals in fine, but I could recommend fasting for two meals. After dinner, you will be able to fully enjoy the Friday night service and the receive grace. It would be good to fast on Friday morning and the lunch and eat dinner, then you can stay up Friday night service. Have you eaten dinner? Our Lord Jesus is dead. After being crucified on the cross, and He was being buried, most likely there are many people mourning over Jesus' death. I thought Jesus was the Messiah who would save us. How could He die just like that? Our hope is gone now. There must have been some people who thought that way. Still others might have mourned and lamented, crying. Is this a world of the sorrow and the suffering? Jesus was the reason I live in the world. Now what I should I live for? How about you? Until the time Jesus died on the cross, you fasted and meditated on the Lord's suffering. But now that the suffering is over, you attend the worship service with a joyful heart. It's because you know the providence of the Father God that is hidden in the cross. It's because you have faith to look forward to seeing the light of the salvation that is like the light of a dawn. John chapter 16, 22, therefore you too have a grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Through this message, I hope that you may fully understand the glory and the blessing that is contained in the cross of the Lord. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will always be filled with a joy that no one can take away. Dear brothers and sisters, when Jesus began His public ministry, people began to experience amazing powers that they had never before imagined. The blind came to see, the mute spoke, and the lame came to walk and jump. The demon possessed were set free from the demons. Even the dead came back to life. Even the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus' coming, and the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish occurred. Along with the power, the authority of the word of Jesus testified to was truly glorious. These were powerful, and moving forward to could not be compared to the teaching of any other scholar or priest who was well-versed in the law, and they were words that gave hope for life in heaven. People saw such as Jesus and thought Jesus was the Messiah who was prophesied in the Bible. And they expected that Jesus would become their king, defeat the Romans' oppression, and restore the glory of Israel. The disciples who were most close to Jesus also firmly believed that Jesus would become king, and so they argued among themselves about who would be greater than when that time came. But Jesus neither became the king of Israel nor gathered the soldiers to defeat the Roman Empire Empire. One day, Jesus was arrested by the officials of the Zeus, handed over to Roman soldiers, and suffered from cruel hardships. Jesus was scourged, and his body was torn to pieces, and finally he was crucified on the cross. In those days, the sentence of the crucifixion on the cross was a punishment that was given to murder or conspirators. Among the many forms of the executions, it was the one of the cruelest executions. Not only one was there a terrible pain of being nailed through the hands and the feet, and the pain and the suffering didn't end quickly, but there was the humiliation of the being crucified naked. Until they shed all the blood and died, they had to be hung on the cross. It's said that some people remained alive and breathing while suffering from pain on the cross for a couple of days. While being hung on the cross, the nail and the hands and the feet had to hold the body weight so that pain became more and more unbearable. Since they shed the blood under the scorching sunlight, they became extremely thirsty. Therefore, to them in those days, the cross was both a symbol of fear and a shame. When the Jewish people saw Jesus died on death of the shame on the cross like a robber, they thought Jesus couldn't be the Son of God. So now Jewish also think like that. So they thought their hope for the king they had waited for had vanished again. Like the Roman soldiers in the tonight's scriptures, that there were people who ridiculed and inserted Jesus. By the way, Jesus' disciples surely believed that Jesus was a Messiah, but when faced with the incident of the cross, they were confused and scared. Our Lord is surely Son of God. Even the wave and the wind obey Him, and the demons are scared of Him. How can things like this possible? They couldn't understand the reality of the situation at all. On the other hand, there were people who were delighted at the sight of the cross of Jesus. It was the high priest and the heads of the Jews who saw Jesus as a threat to their power. The people reversed Jesus so much that they could not arrest him, and if they left him alone, their position would be in danger, so it was a great concern for them. But now that they had Jesus killed, they felt relief. Even today, there are people who feel the relief when others do something wrong. I hope there's no one like that kind of a people among you. We should pray and wish for others to do well. If you wish for someone to do badly just because they are someone you don't like, that is very bad and evil intention. And above all else, the enemy devil and the Satan were so pleased at the cross of Jesus. They had always been afraid of losing their power and authority when the Messiah came as a prophesied in the Bible. However, since they had succeeded in instigating the weak to kill the Savior who had come to this earth, they thought that their power would be in and all. Is the cross really the symbol of the suffering and the shame? Did Jesus, who died on the cross according to the scheme of the devil, fail to accomplish the work of the saving mankind? Absolutely not. Jesus dying on the cross was itself the way to save the mankind. It was the way to achieve the triumph and the glory. It's because in order to save a sinner and become the Messiah, Jesus had to receive the sentence of death and execution. Jesus received the execution of the cross, but since he had no sin, he resurrected and broke the authority of death. He broke the authority of death and gained the victory. When we believe this fact, we receive the forgiveness of the sins and become one with the resurrected Lord through faith. If you become one with the Lord in this way, you will be released from the power of death of the enemy devil, and you will be able to be resurrected like the Lord in the future. Dear brother and sister, after enduring all this suffering, Jesus was resurrected and has dwelled in great glory. Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. Here all names are included, including angels, the enemy devils, and all names above all names on the earth, under the earth, and in Hades. God gave him the name that is above all names in heaven and the earth, and the name in the heaven means the host of the angels, and there are many others besides. That at the name of the Jesus, every knee should bow of all things on the heaven and the all creation, and every tongue confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Also, Hebrews chapter 12, 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of a faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, as Jesus looked for the joy of the resurrection, when Christians who believe in the resurrection of the Lord look at the cross, they don't just dwell on the pain and the suffering. Some people are Christian, but when they go to church, they hide their Bibles in their bags, which is to hide the fact that they are going to church. They act like non-Christians at work and don't say that they go to church. There are people like this who are ashamed of the believing in God and going to the church. And yet, can you believe in the Lord and think that you will go to heaven? Our saints of Mammon don't do that. But they able to look at the salvation, life, and the glory of heaven that is given at the price of that suffering. If you have this kind of a perspective of a faith, you will be able to walk the path that Jesus walked and take up your own cross. Just written in Matthew 16:12-24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wished to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You will eagerly follow Jesus' way. We can find many forefathers of a faith who took up their cross and followed Jesus. Peter, the first disciple of the Lord, died in the martyrdom on the cross, taking up his own cross. He even refused to be crucified like the Lord. He was crucified upside down. Before he witnessed the Lord's resurrections, he denied his master Jesus out of his fear. But he came to have a spiritual faith after he met the Lord of the resurrection. Then he completely changed. He boldly spread the gospel, even when he was beaten and persecuted. While spreading the gospel, he never felt victimized, nor did he feel he was in crisis. He sometimes had to be locked up in the prison. However, he was rather grateful for being humiliated in the name of the Lord. It was the same with Apostle Paul. Before Paul met God, he had knowledge and honor. He was so proud of himself. He was from a good family and even had a Roman citizenship at the time. So he was quite something. He was educated in the best studies, had the most famous teachers and studied under them, was a Hebrew among Hebrews, and lacked nothing. But after he met the Lord of the resurrections, to him the cross of the Lord Jesus was the most precious jewel in the world, and regarded what he veiled before as rubbish. Because the grace of the saving him, the foremost sinner of the sinners, from the punishment of the hell and giving him the hope of heaven, he wanted to devote himself for the Lord. Besides, by the grace of the Father God, he had been to the paradise of the heaven, and he could put in his heart what kind of a glory of heaven would be repaid for his own cross in this earth. The Apostle Paul, who used to persecute the Lord, became the most enthusiastic apostle. When he was beaten up while spreading the gospel, praise came out from his mouth. When he suffered from the persecutions, his joy didn't cease. Even when he was beaten, bleeding, and chained in the deep prison cell, he could be seen praising and praying to God and giving him glory at midnight, even when he should be sleeping. Even if he lost everything for the sake of the Lord's name and become like a drag of all things in the world, he could only be thankful. Just think about being in this situation. Just think about what it would be like if something like that happened to you while you were doing God's work and you were humiliated. How would you react? Can you praise God in the middle midst of all this? Or you ever felt resentment or complaints about why you have to go through such hardships? You should realize what true faith is. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a difference of the viewpoint between a spritz and a flash. From a flash point of view, only the currently visible benefit is seen. But from a spiritual point of view, greater things that is true and inner is sin. Romans chapter 8:18 says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." From a spiritual point of view, not the suffering of a cross is a sin, but the glory that comes after the cross. So we should not only look at the suffering of the cross, but also look at the glory that will be gained after the cross. The Bible says that if there's no such a glory, believers in this world are most pitiful. Among those believers, the most pitiful ones are the sheep of the Mammon Church. You come to church early in the morning to keep the Sabbath day fully, eat noodles for lunch, and attend the evening service. Some people go home, but many people have a meeting, visit, and stay at church to pray at the Daniel prayer meeting. Also, on weekdays, after work, you eat the light dinner and pray until late at night. Then when you get home, Some people arrive home at 1 a.m. And then you sleep for a bit, wake up early, go to the work, and work hard. Even while living this kind of a repetitive life, we can be thankful because we know and believe in the glory that will come to us in the future. If there were not such a glory, believers would be very miserable, and our flock of men would be most miserable. But you, will never be like a poor people. You will be the ones who comes out in the most glorious way, because God will surely reward you according to what you have done and what you have sown. But we are never pitiful, because we believe that there's glory ahead. You are not pitiful. Therefore, people with spiritual eyes take up the cross with a joy like Jesus and the many forefathers of faith. They do not seek for their own benefit or pleasure. They live by the will of God. They seek for others' advantage and they sacrifice themselves. They live temperate and prudent lives. Now, from what point of view do you look at the cross? Of course, if you truly believe in the Lord, who will surely send, to me, the cross of Jesus Christ is the hope of the resurrection and the eternal life. Besides, to have experienced such a power of God and witnessed the true existence of God, you must have been able to see things from a spiritual point of view. However, even among those who confess this, there are many who have a hard time carrying their cross in their own lives and try to take off their cross. No matter how much you are taught that this is God's will, you cannot obey something that does not benefit you. If you obey with faith, it's truly great honor and a blessing. However, because you follow the reality that is immediately in front of you, you end up not obeying and take the different path of your life. It's such a pity. For example, in Matthew 19, we can find a wealthy man coming to Jesus and asking him like this, "Teacher, what good things shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" When Jesus answered, he must keep God's commandments in order to obtain the eternal life, he said, "I've kept all these things. What else should I do?" He said he kept all the commandments. Then, did he keep them? Yes, he did. Our Lord acknowledged it. When we see him answering with such a confidence, we can see that he has been seeking goodness and striving to obtain the eternal life. He also has a heart that trusts in Jesus. So he's asking this question in hopes of getting the answer. Now, Jesus commands him to do one thing. Matthew chapter 19, 21 to 22. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. The Lord acknowledges that young man is keeping the commandments, but tells him that if he wants to be perfect, he should sell what he has and give to the poor. In the act in the Bible, the saints of the early church sold their possessions and gave to the poor, filling each other's needs. This is what a person who truly has the grace of the Lord does. It's not about making money and saving for yourself, but sharing it with others and taking care of those in difficult situations. So he said to him, "Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had a great possessions. This young man longed for eternal life, and although he believed in Jesus, he could not fully see him with the spiritual eyes. He thought that after dividing his possessions, he would be poor. He seems that after he gave up what he was most precious to him, he would have nothing left. If he could see with spiritual eyes, he would have known that if he obeyed Jesus, he could receive the heavenly blessings that are incomparable to material things on earth. But this young man could not receive the Jesus' words with joy because he saw them through the eyes of the flesh. Rather, Jesus' commandments became the burden to him. We see many Christians today are like this young man. They say they believe, but they have assured their spiritual perspective, so even when they heard the word of God, they do not completely obey it. When they hear the word, they receive the grace and respond with amen, but when he trying to obey, they face obstacles here and there. God says, if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn the other cheeks to him as well. If someone asks you for your tunic, give him your outer garments as well. He tells us to pursue the peace and the goodness even in such a way. Father God says you must humble yourself and serve others to become a great. He also says, do not seek your own benefit, but live for the benefit of others in all things. However, if the flesh perspective remains, it is uncomfortable to try to be gentle when the other people is rude and unreasonable. Perhaps you feel uncomfortable bowing your head and making peace first when the other person is more at fault than you. The other person only seeks his own benefit, but you only try to seek the other person's benefit, so you always feel like you are at the loss. If you lower yourself and make a sacrifice, you won't become higher, but probably feel like ridiculous to the other people. The Bible says always be joyful and thankful, but when you are persecuted or face difficulties, you hurt your feelings, so instead of being thankful, you sometimes end up the complaining and the grumbling. The Bible also tells us to abandon the world, but you may feel sorry to abandon something you love. So you something think, can I just take a little, grabbing it? This is exactly case of those who believe in God but still have a fleshly perspective. However, when I see people who says they believe with their lips but cannot overcome even one fleshly desire and continue to practice fleshly desire that God hates, I doubt if their confession of a faith is true. If they do believe it, they will never go to hell. Therefore, true faith is not knowing it with the knowledge, but circumcising the heart, longing for the Spirit, abandoning pleasure, and the thinking of the cross and the suffering of the Lord. On the other hand, those who have a fleshly perspective and go to church also love the world. Let's say that you are in the tougher status that you have to worry about your food. A very wealthy person offers you. That if you will work hard for 1 hour, he will give you a huge amount of money that you can spend freely for the rest of your life. Would you turn down this offer because you do not want to work for an hour? If the rich man's words were true, you would work hard for 1 hour without even knowing you were tired. You will work happily, thinking happily about how you will spend the money you receive. Likewise, those who hope for heaven through faith do not find it difficult to live according to the word of God because they can see with a spiritual eyes. If you compare living this world to eternity, it's not even a second, not even a second of effort. If you get a lot of money for an hour of hard work, you can do an hour of hard work, but our life is only 10,000th of a second compared to the eternity. So what could be difficult about the living according to the God? For those of us who truly hope for heaven through faith, it's not difficult to live according to the word of God because we can see with the eyes of the Spirit how great a regret it would be if after enjoying this pleasure of this world for a short time, one could only reach the paradise in a lamb. What if he can't even go to the paradise? Compared to the eternal life in heaven, life on this earth is as brief as a mist of that disappeared in moment. So, even if we have to endure the pain of the cross for a short time in order to live according to the word of this earth, we can endure it with a joy as a looking forward to the greater and the eternal glory of heaven. Dear brother and sister, people with a physical vision and the people with a spiritual vision have a completely different answer to their prayers. As the Lord says in Mark chapter 11, 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. This is absolute. It's true. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it. Then it will happen to you as it is. So you believe that you had received it and prayed, but it didn't work out? Then is God's words wrong? No, God's word is absolutely not wrong. You believe and prayed and there was no answers? That cannot happen. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it. This is what it means to be given this kind of a faith. When you have cut off all flesh, cut off the thought of the flesh and enter into the Spirit, everything you believe and pray for will be answered as our Lord said, according to your faith be it done to you. This is belief is not given when your thought and the perspective are the flesh. After you pray, you started a doubt again, thinking, will my prayers be answered? Why does this happen? Because you still live in the flesh. But if you think with the Spirit, have the vision of the Spirit, and pray with the mind of the Spirit, you will absolutely be answered. Even if you're sick, You can be healed if you pray with a spiritual thought, mind, and eyes, except in cases where you cannot be healed due to special providence or justice of God. It is not that you believe you will receive it, but rather believe that you have already received it. Those who believe that their wishes have been answered will naturally practice His word and the soul. They believe that God will give them 30, 60, or 100 times what they give to Him because they believe that they've already received it. So also they become rich. You just don't have this belief and don't practice it. But if you practice and believe it, you will become rich. Some of you may blame God when the response seems slower than expected, asking, "Why isn't He giving me?" They are in a desperate and a dire situation right now, so how can they believe they've already received it? So although they pray saying, "I entrusted everything to God the Father," but they do not rely on God to lead this way, but rely on the people, do not do it their own way. On the other hand, those who once have a belief in their hearts and prayed for something, they look forward to it with a faith until the end. They do not change under any circumstances. Even if the response takes a long time or situation changes, they do not change or hesitate. This is because they do not look at the bleak reality, but look at the response that has already been given with the eyes of faith. So, in the end, their wishes come true at the best time at God's wants. Let me conclude it, dear sisters and brothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God resurrects us. On that day, those who were in the graves will be resurrected and we will be taken up alive and eventually go to heaven. This alone shows the power of God. Verses 23 to 24 says, "But we preach the Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles a foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross, which seems foolish and shameful to the eye of the flesh, is the power of God and the source of the pride of the saints who believe in the Lord." If you can believe in the providence and the love of God contained in the cross, you can look not at the path of the pain of the cross, but at the glory of heaven. The important thing here is that it's order for you to be able to see with the eyes of the Spirit. You must ultimately have a spiritual mind. Only by casting off a sin and having a holy heart can we look to God's will first without being fixated on immediate benefits and real difficulties. Only then can we believe and obey even things that are impossible for human to obey. And by obeying, we can receive a blessing. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you will reflect on the suffering of Jesus and the providence of God contained in the cross. And I hope that you will quickly become those who possess the mind and the vision of the Spirit by engraving in our hearts the great love contained therein. So I pray in the name of the Lord that you may live a life that pleases God every day by looking into the glory of the eternal heaven rather than to the things of this world.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.